We know Greece has a big bad debt problem. Apparently, so does Italy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. European leaders meet today to talk about the latest twist in the European debt crisis. There are ominous signs Italy could be the next country in trouble with global investors. Marketplace's Europe correspondent, Stephen Beard, is with us live from London with the latest on that story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So Greece, Portugal, and Ireland have been bailed out. I thought Spain was next in line. Why are we talking about Italy now?
Politics, in a word. As we know, Prime Minister Berlusconi has been embroiled in scandal for months, but the markets were prepared to give his government the benefit of the doubt while his highly respected finance chief was in control of the public finances. But that control is suddenly in doubt. Berlusconi has fallen out badly with the finance chief. He thinks he's a genius, was Berlusconi's sneering comment about him last week. This disunity has hit confidence. The stock market's plummeted, and the cost of borrowing for the government has shot up, making it more and more difficult for it to service its debt.
Could Italy, Stephen, become as troublesome for the global economy as Greece?
Potentially more troublesome if it does need the help of its European partners. Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform says that will pose a huge problem for the Eurozone.
Italy is a very big economy. It's the third biggest economy in the Eurozone. It's something like probably 10 times the size of the Irish economy, for example. And they couldn't afford to bail Italy out.
So if Italy needs a bailout, it could be real crunch time. And, Steve, after dragging on for 18 months, this crisis could finally reach some kind of a climax as early as this fall.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Italian debt fears have global markets lower. European shares are down 0.5% at the moment. Nestle today offered to buy a majority stake in a big Chinese candy company called Sufu Chi. It's a deal worth $1.7 billion. Wall Street Friday, the Dow gave back 62 points to close at 12,657. Financial regulators from the United States are in China today, meeting with their counterparts there. Americans are hoping to address a number of accounting irregularities at some Chinese companies publicly traded in New York. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
More than 150 Chinese companies have sold shares here the last few years through what are called backdoor listings. They buy shells of U.S. firms already publicly traded. The backdoor is faster, less red tape, and legal. But Ken Lieberthal at the Brookings Institution says for some Chinese firms,
the information that they're obligated to provide is not accurate.
Scrutiny turned up erroneous books, obsolete accounting numbers, a suspected fake online bank account. Chinese firms may be developing a reputation in New York, and Lieberthal thinks Beijing won't want that.
The Chinese government has, in fact, a substantial interest in having the firms that come here behave properly.
In the past, Chinese tourists going overseas got trained to stand in line, don't cut, don't spit. The same may apply to Chinese companies trying to go global. Still, how much Chinese riffraff is there really? Defenders think Chinese firms are unfairly smeared, and they blame the smearers. They say short sellers spread rumors and profit when stocks fall. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success on the web at farmers.com.
President Obama and congressional leaders will meet today again as they try to hammer out a deal that would raise the nation's debt limit by August 2nd or face default and maybe another financial crisis. The last crisis we had a couple of years ago cost the Treasury more money in bailouts than most of us probably realized. But Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan says the government's getting a bit of that money back. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
When you say bailout, Alan, how much money are you really talking about?
$14 trillion and change.
Now, $14 trillion is a lot of money, Alan. Did the government go in thinking there would not be a profit from any of that?
Yeah, the government went in expecting to lose hundreds of billions on the bailout, and they did the bailout in order to keep the U.S. economy and world economy from collapsing. And now, because the government's gotten lucky and things are better, the bailout is going to show an actual living profit, as I define profit and as I define the bailout.
All right. So define profit. What would a profit be?
Based on the numbers we have, between $40 billion and $100 billion, which to me is actual real money.
That's a chunk of change. Absolutely. So where is that money going to go, Alan?
Well, a lot of it has already gone to the U.S. Treasury. What it's done is reduce the deficit and reduce the government's need to borrow. And more money's going to go in this year and next, a lot more, I think.
So we hear, Alan, though, people talking about the taxpayer getting their money back. But is it really the taxpayer getting the money?
Well, no one's going to write a check to Chiatakis for, you know, $12 or whatever your share of this is.
$14.08.
Well, okay then. But When they said the taxpayers were bailing people out, they didn't come to you and ask for money. They went to the Treasury.
Speaking of the Treasury, Alan, why isn't the Treasury trumpeting this news all over them? Why aren't they just bragging about, look what we did?
My guess is somebody, probably in the White House, has decided this is all toxic, so we don't want to talk about it, because anytime we mention the bailout, it'll cause endless problems. The Treasury, in fact, has a set of numbers that are different than mine, but along similar lines, and unless you go and extract it with a pair of pliers, you don't know it exists.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us from New York. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
And finally, today we welcome the world's newest stock exchange into the global financial fold, the Cambodian Exchange. Long delayed since it was announced in 2007, the government there owns the biggest share of that benchmark. Unfortunately, we can't tell you how stocks did on the first day because, as of right now, there are no companies listed on the Cambodian Exchange. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Breakneck growth? Yep. Signs of new money everywhere? Got that. Total sensory overload? Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
The Ferrari's locked in the showroom.
Let's turn around for a minute and look at that Nike store. This is good. They've got Maseratis here, too. What does it make? Where am I? Nobody wants to come and explain it to me. Can you say culture shock? I'm Kai Rizdal. China all week, courtesy of yours truly. It starts next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.